Put on your caveman blue because it's time for the Caveman Corner, where we talk football with the young men and their coaches who carry their colors onto the gridiron every Friday night. It's all brought to you by Abby's Legendary Pizza. Now let's head to the Beacon Drive Abby's with Chuck Benson.
Oh, how about some pizza here to start the Caveman Corner tonight? They have just brought over a gorgeous, great-smelling, original barbecued chicken pizza for only $26.99 tonight. It's a three-cheese blend. Layered with barbecue sauce and chicken and onions, and it is, what's a good way to put this? It's good, folks. If you want to join us, by all means, wear your caveman blue tonight, and while we're on the air, your soft drinks are absolutely free, with an order. So come on down, join us for the Caveman Corner as we talk caveman football tonight. Welcome to the microphones of KAJO Coach Luke Herzog, wide receivers coach and the JV head coach for the Grants Pass Caveman. And Luke, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Glad to have you here with us. All right, let's talk about, let's just bask in the glory of that last football game. A win over South Medford anytime is a great, great victory. And this year it was even more special going into it for just a couple of reasons. South Medford had been mentioned in the coaches' poll, I think 11th or 12th in terms of the recognition they were getting. Grants Pass is still being ignored, even though that we're averaging 44 points per game against some pretty tough competition so far. All that being said, going into that game, what was the coaching staff really expecting from South Medford?
Just old-school football, right? They love to run the ball. They like to play hard-nosed defense. And we just needed to get out early and get a lead early so that they can kind of play on the back foot. And we felt that none of their defensive athletes could hang with our offensive studs, to be honest. And as long as we can get them throwing the ball, that would play into our defense's hands. So we made a bunch of really clutch stops in the end of the first half and then start of the second half to get them off rhythm. And we came up with a ton of great timed play calls by BP on offense, and we were able to put up some nice numbers.
My broadcast partner and I, en route to the game, of course, we're talking about the football game and what to expect. And going into that game, we figured it was a winnable game, but it was going to be close. With a rivalry game, that's always the situation. We figured in order to win or to have a shot to win, we had to get at least two, maybe three defensive stops. We got more than three defensive stops. Tell me about that defense and how it was geared up to stop that Medford offense.
Yeah, our defensive coordinator, Robbie Zina, did an excellent job with the game plan. We came up with some different looks than what we've been doing previously in the year. Our goal was to stop the run. You know, that's what they want to do. They want to slow it down. They want to pound the rock. And we came up with a really good plan to put five down at times and stop the traditional I formation, kind of run it down your throat offense, you know. And we were able to come up with some huge stops at the end of the first half with Zach DeShane getting that pick at the end of the first half that really kind of took the wind out of their sails, I think, the little momentum swing that was kind of starting to happen. And the defense just really stepped up in a big way, you know. I think that our run stopping ability was something we needed to work on, and we put a lot of effort in at practice that week, and it showed up on the field that Friday night, and it was awesome to see those guys rally together and make huge stops, you know.
The running backs for North Medford, of course, Foss is a given. He is always a beast, but we saw a different name come up as the tailback, because Foss was up as a blocking back, a fullback. So we were missing a name that we were expecting to see. Was that a surprise to you, or were you aware of that?
So we had heard that possibly, I think they call him Ragu, might have been out that night.
Ragu.
Some, you know, kind of how football works. People hear things from time to time. I guess there was a suspension for
could
targeting.
Have been a disciplinary situation.
I believe it was targeting in the previous game.
Oh.
And because they had a bye week, that carried into our game. It wasn't. I don't think it was that dirty. It wasn't a dirty hit that I saw, but they called targeting on the field, and, you know, those are the rules. So he ended up having to sit out the week that they played us, which
didn't look like they slowed him down any and out of the backfield.
Yeah. He, I mean, watching tape, they have some really talented guys, and they, like I said, they really wanted to run the ball as much as they can. They want to use every second of the play clock. and really milk it the entire 40 seconds, which is completely opposite from our identity on offense. So we needed to just play caveman football, which is fast tempo, and really drown the kids in the that play both ways with our tempo and kind of get them tired. And I think that started to show throughout the game.
It looked to us from our booth, which was right next to yours, incidentally, that South Medford really never got into a complete rhythm all night long. They were always just off a little bit, which is unusual for a Sinclair coach that team, and that has been. Is that your defense's fault?
I believe so. You know, we had a great game plan, and the right players stepped up to make some big plays. I think the next evolution for our defense is we had lots of opportunities to possibly get a few more turnovers, and I think we're going to capitalize on those moving forward. We have a bunch of great talent all over the place. We had Parker Howe at linebacker. We got Nate Bassett at safety. Kingston Connolly. We have Connor Johnston wrecking things. We have Johnny Roberson, who's a senior that's played a bunch of snaps for us. I mean, there's just too many people to name, but everybody played really well, and all 11 were rowing the boat in the same direction last Friday night. And it was extra sweet because it was their homecoming game, too. So we spoiled their homecoming.
Well, we'll look ahead to what you just mentioned, that we're going to try to take advantage of some more turnovers soon, because we've got a tough stretch coming up here in the next three games. Certainly, we'll talk about that in a moment or two. But we dealt with a defense, which has been kind of the Achilles heel for the Grants Pass Cavemen so far this season. If there was a question mark, it was always on defense, because the offense, once again, generating 44 points per game. Explosive offense. What has been the difference in offense this year? And I know you're new to this team, but it has really exploded. It has really blossomed this year.
Yeah, I mean, high school football, it's more difficult to play defense than offense, in my opinion, because from week to week you see such different offenses. So I don't think it's that our defense hasn't been playing as well. It's just a completely new game plan. We went from playing an air raid team in South Salem to an I-back, old school power football to South Medford. And now this week we're going to play some wing T type stuff, So having an answer for all that, I wouldn't really say the defense has been the Achilles heel as much as, sometimes you get into shootouts, and that's high school football, and it's fun to see. Our offense, I think, has really bought into the tempo mindset that we want to go fast, we want to play fast, and we want to really see who can hang with us. We have an amazing explosive running back in Trayton Powers, sophomore. We have an amazing O-line that's been blocking their tails off for us, giving Jordan Rosetta time to throw the ball and make some good post-snap reads. We have speedsters out in out on the edge of Brevik Hill and Isaac Johnson and Tim Hart. So, I mean, it's really just a numbers game. If you want to load the box, thank you. That's one-on-ones for our wide receivers, and Jordan's going to throw the top off, right? If you want to stop that and lighten the box, we're going to run it all night with Trayton and Weston Berg. So pick your poison, and we're going to do it fast, and we're going to try to really tire the other team out and make them tap. Because we play caveman football. We play fast, we play tempo, and we try to bring it to them every game.
How has – and I've heard the term that we practice this way. Tell me about practice and how you really get that stamina, that longevity to outlast another team that is probably working as almost as hard, maybe a little differently than you do.
So we have an ability to do what we call a sudden change periods a few times of practice, and where we go multiple, we try to make as many offensive plays as fast as we can, get lined up, and get the signals in. We want to get about every 8 to 10 seconds the ball snapping after it's a dead ball. And then we have the ability to do kind of like a hockey change. We'll call a platoon on the sidelines, and we'll send in an entire new skills group who are fresh. We have a pretty awesome stacked we're really deep at wide receiver and tight end this year. So we have a bunch of guys that are starting on defense that after they come off the field, they can catch their breath. The offensive starters can go in, and then we can rotate and get those fresh legs in. I think we averaged around 11 seconds between our platoon call, getting an entire new set of wide receiver, tight ends, and running backs in, and the play is getting snapped, and we're going. And they're in my experience, if you can start tempoing teams, DCs don't have time to make calls and make adjustments, so they kind of stay in their vanilla-based defense, and that works to our advantage.
In order to execute that beautifully, you have to have discipline, particularly on the sidelines, and everybody ready to go at the drop of a hat. How did you make that happen?
So we have coaches that have specific roles, right? We have a bunch. We have a really great coaching staff that's gelling. I think that we have grown closer and closer as a staff and increased the way that we communicate on the headsets. And so everybody's on the same page. You know, I'm up in the booth personally as far as the offense goes, and I'm kind of looking from above, seeing what and diagnosing what the defense is showing us, because you just get a better view of everything from up there. And then BP, our head coach, is calling an excellent game plan, you know, week in and week out. And then we have some other coaches on the sidelines that are there to get eyes on kids and make sure that everybody's ready to have a drop of a hat. And we know that, hey, when we call platoon, we got to go now and we got to catch them off guard, because we're coming out fresh and they can't sub as quick as we can. So we're trying to take advantage of that.
All right. You're in Coach Page's ear. All right. What are you telling him, and does he respond to you, or does he call the plays that you ask for, or does he call his own?
So it's Coach Page's offense, right? He's calling the plays that he thinks it will succeed. And what my job is in between drives or during drives, I'm looking at the iPad and I'm diagnosing how other teams are lining up and what plays I think could attack leverage, right? I might see that the number three receiver is getting some off coverage on a safety and they're manned up. So, hey, we should run, you know, whatever play to exploit that, right? I'm just kind of giving him some options that I think could work in case he's thinking about a play that, you know, maybe reminding him, hey, in practice we ran this one really good. Let's try this play on the next drive. And then in between drives, I'm looking at the iPad and I'm going over every single play, watching it until we start again. And I'm taking tons of notes and trying to figure out, what can we do offensively that's going to exploit the way that they line up to our different formations?
How often are you right?
I try
to be. Question, but there it is.
I try to be as much as possible, but there has been some times where I've called. I say we should run this, then a defense sends in a completely new way to line up to it, and so I have a little egg on my face. But luckily, we got an awesome quarterback in Jordan Rosetta, and awesome running backs and skills guys and tight ends that have made us look really good as a coaching staff altogether. So I would say it's BP making all the calls, right? And I'm giving input as to possibly what I see to help him narrow down his play calling that could help us win.
All right, you've been watching every offensive play since the season dropped. That first flag went out. All right, Jordan Rosetta, sophomore quarterback, but he's midway through his second year as quarterback, starting quarterback here. Tell me about Jordan Rosetta and your evaluation.
Yeah, we always kind of keep a look on everything and look at stats. And, you know, right now he has the most touchdown passes in 6A football in the state, which is pretty awesome to see. The only guys that are above him, I think, are playing eight-man football or something like that. But he has really matured, right? He's a sophomore that buries his face in the playbook and into huddle and watching tape, and has an ability to read the defense pre-snap and then make a post-snap read, which is kind of the hardest thing in high school football. A lot of times, younger quarterbacks will see something pre-snap and predetermine where they're going with the ball. And he has done an excellent job at getting better week by week to not let a team trick him pre-snap, but actually make a post-snap read, which is really where we want our quarterbacks to be. And he's a sophomore. He's going to make mistakes, but he has the ability to flush those bad plays and then move on to the next one, right, and start not let that
short
bog
memory
down. Yes,
short
absolutely.
Memory.
A quick learner and a fast forgetter, right? Yeah, that's good. What we want out of our quarterbacks.
All right. So you're evaluating his post-snap reads as really good for a sophomore or for probably any quarterback in the state?
I mean, any quarterback in the state for sure, but I would say especially as a sophomore, right? Every level of football that you move up, whether it's freshman football to JV football to varsity football, then college, the speed's different, right? Everybody that's on the field Friday night, they're the best that school has to offer, okay? So there's certain plays that you can make on JV that you can't make on varsity. They will punish you with the bad reads. And we've been blessed enough as a coaching staff to be able to kind of put a lot more trust into him week by week, and having him, hey, what are you seeing? You know, getting him involved and what are you looking at? You know, even in practice, when maybe he looks at the wrong read or reads something incorrectly, you can bring him aside and go, hey, what did you see there? Hey, I saw the safety roll down here into single high, and so I wanted to hit this guy over here. Well, I understand where you're coming from, but we wanted to hit this other receiver based off that, and he's, you know, and it's a learning process, and the more time he has in our offense, I think the better he's going to be at it. I would love to get to a point where we can call plays where it's like a check, where it's his choice which what to do with it and where to go with it. And I think by his junior and senior year, maybe later on in this year, we'll have that ability to have some play calls in there where it'll be a run right versus run left. You choose, right? And he'll be able to look at the defense, see how they line up, and know where we want to exploit. That's kind of the next evolution of a quarterback, in my opinion, being able to trust him like that.
How does he handle the RPO run-pass option?
I think he's been doing a great job. You know, there's nothing like live game reps, and we've been hitting a lot of them. It's also week to week, depending on what the team does defensively. Sometimes they line up in a way that RPO game is going to be a very heavily used play in that week. Some teams, you know, if they're manned up across the board, the RPO doesn't work as well. You can't exploit their rules against them, right? The goal of the RPO is to use the defense's rules against them and hold the chalk last, make them wrong. So no matter what they do, they're wrong. That's the goal of an RPO, in my opinion. And some teams just want to man you up, which is great to me because we got guys like Brevik Hill and Isaac and Tim and Kingston and Zach. I mean, the names go on and on that can blow the top off of man coverage. So we love when people man us up.
All right. Now, I wasn't picking on Jordan Rosetta particularly, but I had an offensive coach here I wanted to ask about, and I'm going to go down the line here. Let's talk about Powers now as an offensive mind right now. We've seen his speed and we've seen his acceleration. What else does he bring to the position of tailback?
Just his tenacity, you know. He wants the ball. He has excellent vision. He's patient when he needs to be, and then when that opening opens up in the C parts, he can put his foot in the ground and get vertical now and make big plays. You know, it's really hard to teach vision to a running back that doesn't have it, and he has a natural ability, I think, because
you
of all the years.
You keep answering my questions before I answer them. Go ahead.
He has a natural ability through all the years that he's been playing, and I think having a dad that won a state title as a coach and Coach Powers helps too, right? He's been teaching him since he was knee-high on a cricket, I'm sure, and so it seems natural, but it comes from also the ability that we, you know, as coaches, we look at huddle to see who watches the most tape, and it's no surprise that he leads the way week in and week out with the most huddle tape watched, right? And our best players are the ones that watch the most huddle. It's amazing how that happens.
All right. We're going to come back. I'm going to talk, ask some more about some of your individual offensive players, probably in a category that you prefer. But right now, I've got to take a little timeout. We'll be back right after this 1 minute Caveman timeout.
Is your home energy efficient? Poorly sealed windows, lack of insulation, hidden holes in your attic, your basement, and crawl space can mean you're paying to cool or heat the outdoors. Don't do that. Keep money in your pocket and call for an energy audit today with Indoor Airman. Plus, the higher the energy score is on your home, the better resale value you have. 541-295-3204. Indoor Airman, your energy conservation specialist.
When you support local businesses, you help support local teams. Your friends at Farmers Building, Feed, and Garden Supply, your local do-it-best store in Grants Pass, are proud to support the Grants Pass Cavemen and Lady Cavers. You'll find us proudly sitting on the 50-yard line cheering for our football team, as well as our color guard and marching band. We at Farmers are proud to support our Grants Pass teams this year and can't wait to cheer them on with you. We'll see you at the game. Go Cavemen!
Now, welcome back to the Nabeeka Drive, Abby's Pizza. Ladies and gentlemen, our pizza here, this big barbecue chicken and onion pizza, $26.99. At any rate, we're talking with Coach Luke Herzog, who is actually the receivers coach, and we're probably going to get into that right now because I've been asking about some individual players. Run down your core receivers, and it's a pretty long list, isn't it?
We're extremely deep at receiver. We're blessed. So our starters right now are Isaac Johnson, a senior, Tim Hart, a senior, and then our sophomore, Brevik Hill, has been balling out. He's been doing great as a sophomore addition there. We also have in our platoon rotation, we have Hayden Chase, senior. We have Zach Deshane, who's a senior, and Kingston Connolly, who are juniors, is a junior, and all three of those guys start on defense. We also have Jace McGowan, who you'll hear from later on, who's been in the rotation as well. I mean, we're 6, 7, 8 deep at receiver. It's pretty sweet, especially as a wide receiver coach.
All right. Obviously, for a receiver, you want speed. Mm-hmm. Underlo, what else do you look for in a good receiver?
So I always, as a receiver coach, I tell them RCR, responsibility, coverage, release. I need someone that knows their responsibility before each and every play. Am I blocking? Who am I blocking? Where am I running my route? What am I doing? Coverage. What coverage do we see pre-snap, which then leads us to our release? How are we going to release off the ball to give us the leverage we want to run the route that we are about to run? The best receivers have it all, right? They have the ability to know what a defense is going to do before it happens based on how they're lining up, and then be able to exploit the way that they line up to their advantage, right? We want a receiver. Obviously, speed. Speed isn't everything. It's something that you don't have to be fast, but it's better. It's better if you're fast. But we need receivers that don't just run simple, basic routes. They need to have I try my best to try to teach him as many different techniques to get open by tricking defender. I always tell him, we know where we're going with our route. The defender doesn't. Okay, so leave him a breadcrumb trail away from where we're going to end up, right? Do some sort of release in which you're going to get that leverage to where you can get to where you need to be and he can't get there, right? So it's really, obviously, having great hands is something that just takes practice and reps and footwork, and everything is just, it's the best receivers work the most out of practice as well as in practice, right? Everybody in the state's practicing. Okay, to get really good, you got to practice outside of practice, because that's the extra work that other people aren't doing, which then takes you to that next level.
Talk about Root just a moment. And the reason for that question is, years ago, I just had the opportunity to meet one of the great NFL receivers, a fellow by the name of Largent, who wasn't fast. Well, he wasn't the fastest, certainly. But he seemed to run precise routes. And he was always where the quarterback knew he was going to be. Do you have that kind of response from your players here? Are they that precise?
Oh, absolutely. And I think what we've been doing when we get a little out of rhythm is, I'm really a proponent of, hey, before practice and after practice, you need to get with your quarterback and build that trust back up, okay? Every wide receiver wants the ball. There's three of them on the field. There's only one ball, okay? And so what we have to do sometimes to get our timing back is to work extra, because every receiver runs routes differently. And the quarterback needs to get comfortable learning how you run a 10-yard out versus the next guy. How do you run a go ball or a post? Everybody runs them a little bit different at a little bit different speeds, but you need to put in that extra work in order to get that timing down, so that wide receiver and quarterback's a trust thing, right? And it's a timing thing, and it's a cohesion, right? You become kind of one. So you got to put in the extra work outside of practice so that you can get that timing when sometimes it becomes a little bit off.
So you've just listed about 7 pretty good receivers here that you're proud of. How does each one of them maintain that relationship with a quarterback? Or is it a group thing?
So we have individual wide receiver time every day in practice, and so we have the quarterbacks with up and we're doing them. But it's really, you know, I tell the kids, I can lead the horse to water, I can't make it drink, right? I can only give you the tools, right? But it's on you to then build that rapport and that establish that relationship with your quarterback, whether it be during reps in practice, whether it be outside of practice. Every time the ball is thrown to you, we have to make a culture of balls in the air, it's ours. That's it, right? It's either we're getting a flag because they're trying to tackle us before we're getting the ball thrown, or we're coming up with the catch. So I'm also really, really a big proponent on, I tell them, you want the rock, you must block. So we got to be able to block for other receivers once they catch the ball, or block any sort of defender on a run play. It's not a time off. It's a time to then turn a first down run into a touchdown run. Because a lot of times, if you watch on tape, the receiver blocking 10, 15 yards down the field is what turns a 15-yard run into a 65-yard touchdown.
There's one person been catching some passes that we haven't talked about. That's the tight end, Connor Johnstone. Does he fall under your perspective also?
He's definitely a skills guy, right? I'm not the tight ends coach per se, but I love having the ability for someone to block amazingly and then also catch big plays. I mean, he's had some of our longest pass plays of the year has been Connor. You better bring two, because he's not coming down with one, right? He's a big boy. And during that South Med game, we ran power because he was able to take that D end and move him 2-3 yards and create this giant hole. So he has a really awesome ability to be in the right place, do the right thing, block well, catch well, and like I said, you better bring two because he's not going to go down with that first hit.
All right, let's fascinating topics tonight, but let's look ahead right now. Liberty coming in. Liberty, OSAA ranked number 11 in the state. I think Grants Pass is ranked 19th, which is a little low, but probably accurate at this stage of the season. What do you know about Liberty, and what do we expect from them?
So they run the ball, right? They run a wings and things kind of offense, kind of old school wing. It's not wing T per se. It's more single wing, but they love to run the ball. They are going to run the ball. And if we can get them in situations where they have to pass the ball, that plays more into our hands, right? I think that they run about a 4-4 cover 3 is kind of their base with a little old school kind of twist to it. I think we have some answers for that defense. And I think if we just play caveman football and go very high tempo at them, we can get them tired. And we know how to run fast and do plays really fast. And teams come down to us and play us. And it's just a little bit different speed than a lot of guys are used to, especially running teams, because they want to slow it down. They want to hold possession. They want to really extend possession time, right? We want to score now. We want to get them on the back foot. And, you know, we don't really care so much about what the rankings show per se, because last week 9 out of 11 people said we were going to lose to South Med, and you know what happened last week. So.
Yeah, we sure do. At any rate, a little more about Liberty, because I've only been able to pick up a couple of the running backs, and they've gotten some notice on some publications. Other than that, I know very little about them. Do they have an Achilles heel that you can exploit?
As far as their offense, I believe they have a number 20. The running back, his first game was last week, and he had a hell of a game.
Yes.
He had a bunch of yards, and we got to stop him. So the number one priority is to stop number 20 on defense. As far as the offense is, or our offense is concerned, I think we have enough answers for every defense that we've seen so far, and there's not going to show us anything we haven't seen as of yet. I think our skills guys match up really well against their skills guys, and our O-line has been doing an excellent job at getting powers, getting space for powers to make some gashes, so we can do what we do and be very successful. I'm hoping to keep up upping our average points per game as an
You want more than
coach.
44 points a game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now you're getting greedy, coach. Okay, let's. You mentioned the O-line. Who's going to control the line of scrimmage? You've been lucky so far. Lucky. You've so far been pretty good at handling the line of scrimmage. Who can control it? What's the size that we're facing? What's the battle on the line of scrimmage going to be?
Yeah, so they have a number 55, I believe, is a D-end. He's a pretty big kid. He's probably 260, 270. He's very powerful. They sometimes line him up as a backer and then just kind of blitz him and use his size and his speed. He's very very nosy for the ball. I think that
he's how big and how fast?
I think he's probably 265, I think I read. But, you know, it's nothing we haven't seen. A lot of teams have had some really big boys that we've been able to line up with really well, and we're pretty happy and very happy with how our O-line has been so far. We're senior-led. We have Ashton King now playing right tackle. We got Alex Lingo playing center. We got Elijah Hernandez, who's a sophomore that's really been a standout player for us, playing well. Joel Smith's going to come in at spells as a senior. And then, you know, we're just getting super healthy, and we're very excited for the opportunity to play against another kind of different type of defense. But, you know, whoever's out there, we're going to do our thing.
I ask this question almost every time, and I get about the same answer, but we'll see what happens tonight. And that's one game at a time, and we're not looking too far ahead. We're focused right now on the next team, and that's this Friday night at Mel Ingram Field, the Liberty Falcons. But following that is the Sprague Olympians, and they are looking extremely strong. They're at the Sheldon level. Following that, we get Sheldon. How big are these three games for the Grants Pass Cavemen?
Yeah, I mean, obviously our attention's on Liberty. That is our main priority number one. But I think being that we have, you know, a top 11 teams and up the next three weeks, this is a really big 3-week stretch to see how good we really are. You know, obviously we're focusing on Liberty, and that's what all we're thinking about. And being that I'm from Southern California, I don't even know what those other two teams, I don't know their mascots, I don't know nothing about them, right? But I'm only focused on Liberty right now.
Fellow by the name of Herbert came out of Sheldon.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I've heard of him. I've heard of him.
You got that picture.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And Sprague is kind of a new one this year. People were kind of saying before the season started that, hey, Sprague's starting to look pretty strong, and now they're starting to look like a dominant football team. That one's going to be interesting to see. We're coming up to the top of the hour. Coach, it's been a great half hour here with you. I appreciate it. Stick around and introduce me to some of your players here. In the meantime, enjoy some of the pizza here as the Caveman Corner comes your way live from Abby's Pizza here, and we're going to chat out some.
Caveman Corner brought to you by Abby's Legendary Pizza. Here on KAJO Prince Pence. The corner continues after national news.
Devastating hurricane force winds, particularly where the eye of Milton comes on shore along the west central Florida coast. And again, the risk of strong tornadoes will continue through the evening hours across the southern and central portions of the Florida Peninsula. If a tornado warning is issued for your area, take shelter in an interior room on the lowest floor of your home. And then finally, the heavy rainfall and flooding threat will continue to play out through tonight and into Thursday in portions of Florida, especially that central Florida Peninsula I-4 corridor with the potential for life-threatening and catastrophic flooding.
According to a utility tracker, there are more than a million homes without power in Florida at this hour. A leading expert is calling on the federal government to develop a national driver's test that autonomous vehicles would have to pass before they could travel on public roads. Bob Agnew reports.
The idea comes at a time of growing concern about the safety of self-driven vehicles. Henry Liu, who leads the University of Michigan's Autonomous Vehicle Testing Center, says such a regulation would set minimum standards to ensure that the vehicles display basic skills and competence in traffic situations. In recent years, autonomous vehicles have been involved in a number of high-profile crashes, and surveys have revealed widespread public concern about their safety. Bob Agnew reporting.
The New York Mets advanced to the National League Championship Series with a 4-1 win over the Philadelphia Phillies this evening. On Wall Street, the Dow by 431 points, the NASDAQ rose 108. More at townhall.com.
You understand the impact this election may have on their retirement savings. In less than 30 days, our entire economy could face a monumental shift that could destroy a huge amount of value many Americans have stored in their 401ks or IRAs. In times like these, the most trusted store of wealth in human history stands out, physical gold and silver. Many Americans have looked to True Gold Republic for help. They specialize in helping those with a 401k, IRA, or other retirement accounts convert their stocks and bonds into physical gold and silver to protect their hard-earned savings. True Gold is offering listeners a free copy of their Election Gold Protection Kit today. To claim yours, call 800-300-GOLD. This information is free and might very well save your comfortable retirement. By acting before the election, you can still make a tax and penalty-free conversion with the help of True Gold's award-winning team. Call 800-300-GOLD. That's 800-300-GOLD. True Gold Republic is not a financial advisor. Consult with your tax advisor before investing. Call 800-300-GOLD.
Illinois Valley Building Supply is more than a building supply, hardware, feed, pet, and garden store. Family operated since 1973, Ivy Building Supply is where people go when they need expert advice and quality products. Here's a look at what's on sale this week. The last day to shop the nursery at Illinois Valley Building Supply is October 12th. Starting Monday, October 14th, they'll be shutting down the nursery in Cave Junction for the winter and bringing all of those plants to farmers in Grants Pass. That means huge savings at both locations. This week, stop in and save 30% on all plants, trees, shrubs, and roses in the nursery. Come grab your fall plants all for 30% off. Sale prices limited to stock on hand, no rain checks. Ivy Building Supply is full of friendly people to give you all the how-tos on all your projects. You'll find Illinois Valley Building Supply at 434 Caves Highway in Cave Junction. Ivy Building Supply, where the best do it best.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Caveman Corner, coming to you live and direct from the Beacon Drive Abbey's Pizza, where they've got that special on the pizza tonight, $26.99. Get you that huge three-cheese blend, barbecue sauce, chicken and onion pizza. It is good, and we have several people around here who can testify that, because ours is about half gone so far here. So thank you much for joining us. First half hour, we dealt with Coach Lutz Herzog. And he's brought some players with us. Coach, who'd you bring along with you tonight?
Yeah, we brought Brevik Hill, Jace McGowan, and Johnny Roberson.
All right, gentlemen, welcome to the microphones of KJO Radio. Glad to have you here with us. All right, Johnny, let's start with you. Tell me about the South Medford football game last Friday night.
Last week, it was pretty good. We started out strong, got a good lead, and went in halftime. We had a good hype halftime. And we just came out and kept dominating the whole game, never gave the lead up, never stopped.
All right, tell me about some of your own personal exploits in that game here.
Well, I play nose guard on the D-line, so just stuffing the line, making sure they can't run the ball because that's what they're good at. So just making sure they can't run the ball, letting the secondary do their job, filling the gaps, make the tackles.
All right, I understand you made a couple of big pops.
Yeah.
What was that like here? Did it feel good? First of all, who'd you pop and how often?
I got Foss a couple times, like at the line of scrimmage. It's pretty nice when you look up and you see you're not at your own stadium. You still got as much of a fan section as the home team does. It's pretty cool.
That feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, tell me what it was like battling Foss, because he's a monster.
Well, I've been playing with Foss since I was a little kid. So
oh, yeah?
It was nothing new.
Weren't intimidated, huh?
Nope.
Okay. And you're not a small young man yourself here.
No.
Tell me about weight room.
Well, I've been laying off the weight room recently because I've been focusing on the season. I don't want to overexert myself, but the past couple of years I've been working really hard in the weight room, getting all the stuff up, but I didn't have an injury, so I kind of got set back a little bit.
Oh, all right. And let's see, you carry some weight. What, about 260, is that right?
250.
About 250?
Yeah.
All right. Does that help?
Yeah, it definitely helps.
They're not going to move you around very much, are they?
No, it's pretty hard to move when you got a low center of gravity.
All right. How do you handle that? Tell me about technique.
Playing the interior, it's a lot of being able to understand what the offensive line is doing. So when you see the people in front of you doing certain things, you just have an automatic reaction. So being able to know when you need to bonus across or when you need to drive up the field is really important.
All right. How do you make those decisions?
Just an instinct. If the person in front of me leaves, you bonus across the center who's going to come down and block you.
Oh, okay. Keyword, stay low?
Yeah.
All right. And let's see, you're getting a start this Friday night, aren't you?
Yes, I'm going to be starting.
All right. Tell me about your assignment against these Falcons coming out of Liberty High School.
Keep your eyes out of the backfield and read what's happening in front of you because the people are going to tell you where the ball's going.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, good luck. We'll come back to you. Jace McGowan, tell me about last Friday night.
I didn't get to play very much, but I got in like 10 or so plays, and I had like four tackles, so that's about it.
You got in 10 plays and made four tackles?
Yeah.
Well, I would say that says something. From what position?
I played corner.
Okay. And what was your assignment as corner?
We play cover two, so I play flat with two, and it's like a man switch.
All right. What's your key? What are you watching when you're trying to make a decision when they're about to snap the ball?
Just reading, like, two's feet, so if he goes in or out.
Okay. What do you need to do as a cornerback? What skill do you bring?
Keep the ball out of the wide receiver's hands.
Oh, okay. So how do you keep the ball out of the wide receiver's hands?
Just read him well and play the ball in the air.
Little play the ball in the air. Little contact?
A little bit.
All right. What do you like about the position?
I like being able to hit people, like, when they're not looking, so, like, they're on a screen.
All right. So you like the contact, huh? Okay. What kind of size do you bring?
I'm 180. I'm like 6 foot. So.
6 foot, 180. Oh, you carry that 180 pretty well.
Yeah.
So how long have you been playing football?
I started out flag football in like fifth grade.
Oh, okay.
different positions that you played?
Yeah, I've played quarterback, running back, receiver, basically everything.
Oh, okay. Is there a favorite?
I definitely like receiver, but I don't really. I like defense a lot right now, so.
All right. I always like defense, too.
Yeah.
No kidding. It's fun to get the quarterback with those wide receivers. Hit him with a surprise.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Brevik Hill, tell me about last Friday.
Last Friday was a very good team win. I felt like it was a really good challenge to see how good of a football team we were.
Okay.
And then I played a pretty solid game. I had, I think, about 100 receiving yards or so. Yeah.
About that. Got about 80 of them on one play, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do we have a good solid connection on him? Hang on a second. Let's just move that microphone over there. There you go. All right. Now talk to me again. Tell me about last Friday here.
Okay. So last Friday I felt it was a really good team win. You know, we got the job done. It was a really good test to see how good of a football team we were. And, yeah. And then I had about 100 or so receiving yards, and I felt that was a pretty good contributor to overall factor of the game.
All right. Looks like Mr. Rose had to really hit you in stride for that 80-yard shot. Tell me about that. Tell me about that one play.
So pre-snap, I think he noticed that the safety was not properly lined up. He was a little bit inside of where he should have, and you know, he snapped it fast and quick and hit me for the long gain. And I saw the guy chasing me behind, and I thought that, you know, he was going to catch me, and so I cut to the left, and he dove and. I don't know. I got in the end zone.
Yeah, and stopped running as soon as you got into the end zone. How'd that feel?
It was a surreal feeling for sure, especially in that stadium because, I don't know, it was I feel like it iced the game kind of. It took a lot of momentum out of theirs because they were trying to make a late comeback towards the end of the game there. So
that was a beautiful pass he threw to you, too.
It
looked like you
perfect.
Caught it in stride, didn't have to break at all.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was right over the defender's hand. I saw it, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a big one.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, that's not the only touchdown pass that you had.
Yeah, I had one earlier in the game. It was like a slant route, and it was on, I believe it was on fourth down. So
yeah, something like that. Not near 80 yards, but
yeah.
All right, we'll take it. We'll take it. So two scores, but that wasn't your only scoring opportunities. You also got two more points on the point after try.
Yeah, I had one. We ran this unique formation off of a point after attempt, and I was able to see that the defense overplayed the option that I have, and so I just ran it in the end zone, and it worked out pretty well.
Were you the primary target, or did Rosetta just land on you?
I think that game that they played, I was man on a linebacker, so during that game, I guess you could say he kind of did, but it was just because of that game. So
all right, tell me about your speed.
I'd like to say I'm pretty fast, but yeah.
All right. Do you play any other sports?
Yeah, I play golf and basketball, so.
Oh, golf. Yeah. What's your handicap?
I'm about 2-3, so yeah.
My handicap is all those silly shaped clubs I had to use. So a 2 handicap in golf, huh?
Yeah.
So you're on the golf team also. What was the other one?
Basketball, too.
Basketball, okay.
Yep.
So quickness and speed going to transfer there.
Yeah, for
all right,
sure.
So you're going to be busy until March
summer,
anyway.
Yep.
Yeah, all the way.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, we're going to take just a little break here. We're going to take a little pause, play a couple of commercials. We'll be right back and talk more with these fine young men representing the Grants Pass Caveman. And we'll be back right after this one-minute Caveman timeout.
This is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. A woman was traveling on I-5 recently and started hearing a noise. She was, of course, worried about hotel and repair costs, but it turned out to be a simple issue and we got her back on the road with no charge, a bottle of water, and some snacks. Well done, Grants Pass. This is exactly what it means to be good stewards. Dave and I are so proud of you. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
Looking for a local, trusted security company? Rogue Valley Security specializes in security camera installation, 24/7 alarm monitoring, Starlink installation, internet extensions, access door systems, low voltage cabling, and more. Protect your home or business with the best in the industry. Call today and talk to a real person who understands your needs. 541-660-3242 or stop by 214 Southeast 8th Street in Grants Pass. Free estimates and a variety of options to suit you. Rogue Valley Security, your safety is their priority.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Caveman Corner, coming to you live and direct from the Beacon Drive Abbey's Pizza. I've got three young cavemen here we've been talking with. Let's go back to Johnny Romerson. Johnny, you're a senior, is that right?
Yeah, I'm a senior.
Do you have that right? So you have your whole life planned out in front of you, huh?
Definitely not, no.
Definitely not, okay. What are you studying right now?
What am I what?
Studying.
Right now, I'm planning on becoming a tradesman. I want to do HVAC when I grow up and work for a family company.
All right. What course do you have to go through in order to achieve that?
I got to graduate high school, and then I'm planning on going to some trade schools in Hawaii to get some of the requirements so I can get hired, and then I can go help work for the family company.
All right. A trade school in Hawaii. Yeah. Tough duty. Did you pick those out, or did someone recommend those for you?
Well, the family company is in Hawaii, so
oh, really?
So that's where I'm going to be living, so it's just the easiest route.
All right, which island?
It's going to be the Big Island.
Okay, the island of Hawaii, then.
Yeah.
Okay, so that island has two different sides. It's got the Kona side and the lush jungle side.
Yeah.
Which side are you going to be on?
I'm going to be on Kona.
On Kona?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the coffee's great, and... stay out of the sun,
yep.
If you can. Long term, that's HVAC.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the plan. Just climb up the ladder of the company and hopefully end up in a management position at one point.
Okay. Well, if you know anybody in the company, maybe that'll happen.
Yep.
best of luck in your endeavor there. Where's football fall into that? Is this the last year for football, or is there an opportunity to play somewhere else?
I don't think I'm going to pursue it after high school. It's just one last season for me.
Okay, well, enjoy your senior season. It is a special one, no doubt. And I guess I don't have to tell you that with the success that this team has had so far.
Yeah.
All right. So, Johnny Robertson, thank you very much. Good luck. First real start. And I know you've been a factor so far, but a first real start defensively this Friday night against the Falcons of Liberty High School. Chase McGowan, what do you do when you're not playing football?
I play baseball.
Oh, baseball!
Yeah.
So you know my cohort there in the radio booth, Mr. Zach something Morgan.
Yeah.
You're familiar with him.
Yes, sir.
What position do you play in baseball?
Shortstop and second.
Shortstop and second. So
yes, sir.
It's speed and agility there.
Yeah.
All right. What other characteristics do you have to bring to that to be good?
You definitely have to be mentally strong. Like baseball's a hard sport already, so like if you get in your head, like it tends to make it a lot harder.
Okay, so how do you fight that? How do you keep that focus?
I have faith, so like reading the Bible and stuff like that definitely helps me. And then I like to like journal in the morning or journal about my thoughts sometimes.
You do?
Yes, sir.
You're going to save that journal?
Yeah.
Publish it someday?
Maybe.
All right. So are you a writer also on the side? Is that part of your...
Definitely not. Around you?
It's just something you do. When did you start doing a journal?
I read, like, a book, like, sophomore year, because I was kind of struggling, like, with, like, where my head was at. So I kind of picked it up out of a book.
All right. And that has – what's that done for you?
It's definitely helped me to, like, be more confident and, like, reassure myself.
Now, is it a diary or is it a journal? Is it something you'd share with anybody?
Nah, it's definitely not a diary. It's just a journal of, like, daily, like, accomplishments, stuff like that.
Oh, all right. All right. When you're not writing in your journal and you're not playing football and you're not thinking about baseball or getting right with God, what do you do for fun? Is there a sideline there that takes you away from all this?
I like to fish a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. What do you use for bait and what are you fishing for?
Sinkos are my go-to for sure. It's like a little plastic worm and I whack your rig, it's like it goes sideways on the hook and it like moves weird than water, but yeah.
All right. So are you at the Rogue during your off time trying to snag a salmon?
No, I'm in like ponds close to my house most of the time for bass.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Now, how do you prepare your bass once you caught them?
I catch and release. I don't like
you
to
catch
eat
and
them.
Release.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, fascinating. Continue that journal, and good luck fishing.
Thanks.
All right. Okay. Long-term plans.
I want to play baseball in college for sure.
All right.
That's what I'm going to go do. And then I like to play baseball after that as long as possible.
All right. Is there a college that you've got picked out? Have anybody reached out yet? Or?
There's been a few that's reached out, but like nothing's like locked in yet. So.
All right. Wave your magic wand. What do you want to play?
Like college-wise?
Yeah.
Probably either like GCU or somewhere in the SEC.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Any of those have reached out yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, good luck and keep working. All right. All right, young man, you're the underclassman here.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So what are you studying in high school, long-term plan here? What?
You know, I haven't really had my mindset on what I want to do in the future, but as I'm studying, I don't know, science, math, all that type of stuff, I kind of am liking the lawyer route. That's a good one. I also like maybe being a doctor or something. That's pretty cool.
All right, science and math. Do you want to be a lawyer or a doctor?
Well, yeah.
courageous ambitions there, young man. What about law? You mentioned lawyer. What do you know about the law?
You know, I think it's really important, obviously. You don't want to break any rules or anything.
All right. His quarterback is making noise at him, or making...
Yeah.
Mr. Rosetta has joined us over here to the right here, but he'll have his turn here soon.
Okay.
In the meantime, so science and math, what do you like about science?
I really like, I don't know, I like the chemistry side of it, like seeing all the different combinations and stuff. And I also like the biology and how, like, the body works and stuff. I think that's really cool.
Okay, so you're really just exploring things right now.
Yeah.
Are you good at all those things?
Yeah, I'm a pretty good student. I have mostly all A's, so that's really... Yeah.
Mostly all A's.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll take that in a heartbeat, no doubt about it. When you're not studying and thinking about science and math and all the money a lawyer can make, what do you do for fun?
Golf, yeah.
Golf, that's it.
Yeah, that's my main one.
Okay, so long-term, would you... Are we talking pro golf tour? I mean, with the 2 handicap.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possible route that I want to pursue. That and football, if I wanted to pursue sports, I feel like that'd be really fun. Yeah.
Oh, well, with those two sports, you could probably play both at the next level.
Yeah.
Is that a dream?
Yeah, that would be a dream of mine, for sure.
All right. Is there a college you'd like to go to? Have you got one?
Yeah, the main college I have on my mind right now is SDSU, San Diego State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really like the beach, and I feel like that'd be a really fun place to go.
Oh, we have beaches in Oregon.
Nothing like San Diego State. Those are fun ones, yeah, for sure.
All right. Now, one game coming up. What's your assignment against the Falcons of Liberty High School?
Catch passes, score touchdowns. That's my main assignment. But we had a... kind of a sickness with one of our, well, I guess an infection with one of our players. So if hopefully that gets better, but I might have to fill in at a little bit of defense. But if all goes well, then he'll be back and healthy, which will be really fun and really good to see our defense at full strength. So
all right, so you're playing both sides of the ball occasionally.
Maybe. We'll see. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Jace, what's your assignment on this this coming Friday night?
Lock down their offense. No points scored.
No points scored. Yeah. You're not going to catch a pass against me. Is that it?
Yeah.
And if you do, you'll pay the physical price.
Yeah, you'll pay for it for sure.
Okay. All right. And Johnny, do you have a special assignment for this this Friday night?
Just make sure and hold your gap and don't let them do any of the trickery that they're trying to do against us.
All right. As a senior, when you look back on your athletic career, is there someone back there who you'd like to say thank you to or has inspired you or given you a tip that has made all the difference in the world?
My favorite coach I've ever had is Coach Amaral from sophomore year. I love him. I'd like to shout him out.
Okay. I saw some other nods. Jace, how about you? Is there a coach out there or an inspirational person?
Definitely like my uncle, Zach Morgan.
Who?
Zach Morgan.
Zach Morgan. Oh,
yeah.
Him. Okay, well, he's your uncle, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, well, I'm sorry. obviously, folks, Mr. Morgan is our play-by-play color man on the radio, so we appreciate that. And Mr. Brevik, what about you? Is there a coach out there you like?
Yeah, when I was growing up, probably my dad coaching me, because he was a receiver, too, so that really helped me kind of take my game to a better level.
Okay, he was a receiver for whom?
The Cavemen, too. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm.
So you're a legacy, then. You have to do well.
Yeah, or else I'll probably hear it from him when I get home if I don't do good.
Yeah,
so.
probably hear it from him anyway, regardless of one way or the other. Does he critique you after a game?
Yeah, A little bit. A lot of positives, but there's some, like, constructive criticism, so that's really, that helps me for sure.
Here's what you should have done, son. One of those.
What?
Said, here's what you should have done, son.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
All right. Gentlemen, want to thank you very much for your time tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you. And if you'd share that with your teammates, we'd certainly appreciate it. It has been an exciting season so far for everybody connected with Caveman football. So, Mr. Robertson, Mr. McGowan, Mr. Hill, thank you all very much. If you'd share our best wishes to the rest of the team. And good luck against the Liberty Falcons.
All right.
All right, sir. Gentlemen, thank you very much. If we can get Coach Herzog back over here for a moment or two, and we'll scoot down. In the meantime, I want you, everybody, to stay tuned following this program, because about 5 minutes after we're done here, we'll turn you over to the Oregon Ducks, their coaches show coming up. I understand they have a pretty big game this Saturday. Team Ohio State something is going into Autzen Stadium, so... Little game there. Coach, you brought us some great players tonight. Some great young men.
Absolutely, yeah. I love these guys, and they've been working really, really hard, and they've all been leaders in their own right at each position they play. So it's been really cool to watch them develop and grow, and especially give a chance for the young guys to play. And then the seniors have been awesome, leading from the front type guys. It's pretty cool to see.
Is that where all of the leadership has come from, is primarily the seniors this year? Or do you have other people step up and really have their compadres' ears?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the best teams that I've been a part of are player-led, right? And the coaches can only do so much. And when the players hold themselves accountable, that seems to be the best type of teams that I've been a part of. And that's really happening here at Grants Pass, which is cool to see. The seniors have taken the lead on that. But there has been some younger guys that have been leading by example, and maybe not the big rah-rah type guys, but more of the lunch pail, bring it to work, hard hat type of players like Trayton Powers and a Jordan Rosetta that have really stepped up for us and been the type of kids that you want to be on the field and exemplify what it means to be a caveman.
All right. Between now and Friday night, what kind of schedule will you put these guys through?
We'll do a kind of a lighter practice tomorrow morning, 5:50 to about 7:30, somewhere around there. And we'll go through a lot of pregame stuff and kind of go over what we're going to be doing game plan wise and running through some lighter stuff. And then we got our JV game at home tomorrow against Jesuit, because Liberty doesn't have a JV team. So I know a lot of the players come out to watch that at whenever it's a home game. There's also a senior dinner that is kind of tradition here at Grants Pass. And so I forget which family is hosting it, but one senior family hosts every week, and all the seniors get together and kind of do a good team bonding thing. Friday, we don't actually have any school, so we're going to have a walkthrough Friday around 8 a.m., make sure everybody's up, moving, get the blood flowing, and then around noon, we're going to have a team dinner or a team lunch over at the Johnston's house, and go from there, and then start our pregame stuff around 4, kind of try to get it as close to a school-like situation as possible without actually going to school.
You caught my attention there with the JV game coming up. I didn't really... I confess to not following the JV team
as much as I should.
Okay. But Jesuit is bringing their JV team down. Is this the first time?
I do not know if this is going to be the first time Jesuit's coming down. Like I said, I'm new here to Grants Pass, but Liberty doesn't have a JV squad. So luckily for the JV squad, we don't have to travel to Hillsboro tomorrow. Unfortunately for the freshmen, they are going to be traveling out there. But they found us a game that would fit with it, which ended up being a home game, and it is Jesuit. So it's going to be a tough game for us. And, you know, as a JV head coach, you know, I'm excited to see what our kids can do against a private school like that.
How much work do you put in scouting for the JV team for a game like this?
Well, as far as JVs, we look at what the base defense is, at least offensively. Unfortunately, we don't have any Jesuit tape, so I don't have anything to go off of. I've been asking around and trying to figure out, and I figured that they run like a 4-2-5, so I have some stuff dialed up for that. But I make sure that my call sheet every week is adjusted based off what the base defense is that we're seeing, because most teams don't run too complicated of stuff defensively on the JV level. They just try to get really good at their base stuff. So if I can exploit what their what their base defense is. We usually do a pretty good job.
All right. We've obviously explored the fact that you're relatively new to the Grants Pass hierarchy, or the at least the history here. And we've always felt that Mel Ingram Field was a little unique in terms of the layout of the field and how close the fans are to the field. And was that new to you? And what is its effect on visiting teams?
Yeah, it's extremely new to me. You know, we growing up in Southern California, playing out there and coaching out there, there's always a track separated the field from the stands, and the fact that they're just right on top of you, it gets loud, it gets bumping. At the end of that South Salem game, when it was down to the nitty gritty on the last possession, I mean, there's no way that they could hear anything from on the sidelines. It was a pretty cool experience, and the crowd noise is awesome, and everyone. When the cavemen are winning, it's a pretty cool thing to see, you know, and we want to keep that up.
That's a unique experience. All right, Coach, listen, we want to thank you very much. We appreciate your time and efforts, and if you'd pass that along to the coaching staff, we'd appreciate that. Of course,
yes, sir.
We're along for every game. We'll be the guys following along in the booth there. So, once again, Coach Herzog, thank you very much. And you've been listening to the Caveman Corner here on KAJO Radio. Don't forget, Friday night, Mel Ingram Field, folks, the Liberty Falcons will be flying in to challenge the Grants Pass Cavemen. For the Caveman Corner crew, I'm Chuck Benson reporting. Good night, everyone.
You have been listening to the Caveman Corner, brought to you by Abby's Legendary Pizza from their Beacon Drive location. You are invited every Wednesday night through football season to join us in the Caveman Corner.